Well, here we are again for another episode of Nonsense and Deep Thoughts podcast. What's up, guys? How are we today?
Yo, what's up? What's up?
What's going on? God.
So we're bringing Jared on for this episode. He's going to be with us throughout, along with doing all of the vaccine stuff, you know, handling all the important shit. But we want him on the conversation too, because we have some shared experiences to go over and things that we can all relate to. So that's kind of where we're going to start at, like, because all three of us recently have changed jobs. Justin being the farthest one back, he's been at his job for a little over a year now, but before that he was not really enjoying what he was doing and kind of had the same feelings that I had with my job that I just left. So I see. Kind of a little bit.
See, that's what I was saying before. And before we started, The main reason I left was money.
Yeah, that but you know
generally
what?
Generally my driving force.
Yeah, money is generally your driving force, but that wasn't it. And you have to admit that, because you were stressed out with the drives that you were making. Like, that job was, if that was me, I would have went crazy. What was that?
Being on the road was rough. It had its moments.
Yeah, but
it's tiring.
Your being on the road is a lot different than when I go out on the road now. Like, you had that stressful city hotels. Driving overnights. Yeah, I mean,
that was luckily the worst part. Not the city driving was easy. It was being stuck in a hotel once you were done.
Better you than me with the city driving, but. Yeah, I mean, at least your lifestyle kind of allowed a little bit for the overnights.
Yeah.
So that was nice in and of itself. And then Jared recently left the job to take another, and you had your own situations there, right?
Yeah, co-workers and my supervisor, just the mental breakdown that it had was definitely worth it. I took a part-time, very low-paid position in the meantime while I was looking, and then something popped up, which turned out to be better than my original job. So it did work out. There was a few months there where, I mean, it sucked. I mean, it really was a low point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... For me, I had quite a few low points at the last job I was at. The worst thing is feeling like you're stuck. And I know we touched on that a little bit with our first episode back, Justin. But feeling like you're stuck in a job because you feel like that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's kind of tough. And I feel like a lot of people go through that. If anybody is like I am, I put a lot of value on who I am based on what I'm doing, and not so much that I put the value on it, it's that I feel like other people are, like, I feel like other people are judging me for what I'm doing, where I'm at. And I sit down and I think a lot of times, man, I'm 36 years old and I don't know what the hell I'm doing in life. Y'all ever
what
have
do you
want to
be when you grow up?
Yo, I could probably I could probably still sit here and attempt to answer that question. Like, I don't feel grown up. Yeah, you feel like that? Like, we're almost 40.
Yeah, no, don't.
We're almost 40. And I feel like I'm not grown up yet, bro.
I feel like I'm still a teenager.
Right? Like,
mentally, not physically.
Yo, so.
Right.
So
yeah, I know. I feel old physically.
Yeah. But sitting down and thinking about it, like, I start to wonder, did our parents feel like this when they were this age? Did they ever sit down and think to themselves, man, I'm almost 40. I got to get my shit together. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Or, like we just said, I don't feel like I'm 36 years old. Physically, yes, absolutely. I agree. I physically feel like I'm that old. But mentally, I still feel like I'm in my early 20s, man.
I don't know.
It's just strange.
As weird as it is to say, I don't think they had the chance to.
Yeah,
they didn't have the chance to feel that way, because it was, you went into a field and you basically fucking stayed there.
Yep. That's how it was. They worked their asses off and stayed with the job for 30, 40 years.
Shit, my dad still's doing what he's been doing since he was 18. He fucking, as far as I know, he fucking hates it.
See, and that's part of why I feel the way I feel when it comes to work. Like, all right, so my entire adult life has consisted of me trying to find what it is I'm meant to do. So I had a job for almost 9 years at a resort, a local resort on a big lake over here. And I was in maintenance over there and I enjoyed it. It was decent work. It was a lot of lawn care, a lot of snow removal and painting indoors in the wintertime. And then, you know, small repair work. Like I was a homeowner, you know, repairing, you know, pipes under sinks and replacing outlets or ballasts in lighting and shit like that. It wasn't that bad. I enjoyed the work and I probably would have still been there had the pay been better. But it was the pay, like I just could not sustain myself. I could not even think about purchasing a home on the salary I was getting, on the hourly wage that I was getting. It was just too bad.
And be real, it took a lot of fucking talking to get you to leave that place.
Yeah, it did. It did, because I was comfortable. You know, I was comfortable. I knew the job. I knew the people I worked for, the people I worked with.
Now, how fucked up is it now? Look back. Because I was the one who basically talked you out of there.
Yeah, for the most part.
But how big of a difference in money was it, looking back? What was it, a dollar?
I went up by almost $3 an hour when I left that place. Now, that's the other thing, though. When I left that place, I went for a job that you talked me into applying at with you. And it was something completely out of my comfort zone. It was to work for a company that built fire trucks. So I had worked in the maintenance field, but I have never done intensive work like that. I don't know what you would call it. Not even labor intensive. It's just like very particular. You have to know what you're doing. You have to pay attention to detail. And I worked in a finishing bay there. So they built the body and then I got the truck and I would have to help put on the lighting. I'd have to help build the shelves for the body. And I'd have to help with the, what was it?
Wiring.
The wiring and what was it? The hydraulic shit for the pump.
The plumbing.
The plumbing and all that. Yeah. So.
Talk about stress.
Yeah, dude, talk about stress. That's like, I lasted about 7 months there. And the stress that I felt at that job, that job is what really started my struggle with anxiety right there. Like the stress and the anxiety and the craziness I felt. Like I pulled into work at that job and I would sit in my car in the parking lot with my chest pounding.
I've had those days.
Yeah, I remember.
Like it was bad. Dude, I was there for like a week or two and they told me that I had to cut out oxygen tank compartments on those fire trucks. I was like, wait a minute, how much are these trucks worth? $400,000? This one's $400,000?
They're pretty
expensive. And you want me to cut straight lines just so we can, okay, got it. So that was a stressful job. And you know
the first thing they made me do?
No.
I had to drill the holes in the side of the fucking cabs for the lights, for the side markers.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's fun.
First thing they had me do, I was like, oh my God. I enjoyed that job. That was a very, to me, aside from, you know, the management and all that shit. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, I enjoyed that job because it was gratifying to see the fire companies come in, look at their trucks, test their trucks, and see their faces as they get to drive the truck away.
Absolutely. I will agree with you on that. Shit sucks. Like, I felt good when we finished a truck. It was a cool feeling, but that was too few and far between for me. I just felt like I was in over my head, and the anxiety every day of feeling like I was going to fuck up and cost the company a shit ton of money. That was rough. So that right there is what started me panicking and trying to figure out what I'm doing with my life. How long ago was that? That was about 5 years. Because I was about 23, 24 when I started that maintenance job, and I was there 8 years. So I was in my early 30s. And since then, I've been wandering around aimlessly trying to find what the fuck I'm supposed to do, right? So, and there's a part of me that feels like I should have my shit together. I know Allie in chat says, you know, when do you ever have your shit together?
Yep.
But I feel like I need to. Like, I feel like I'm at that point in my life where I should know what I'm doing. I should know what I'm good at, and I should just fucking do it. But it's, to me, it's been difficult. It's been a struggle, and it's been something that's messed with my head for quite a while. Like, each job I go to, I've been trying to do different things, I guess you could say, and try to find what it is I'm good at. I ended up at another resort, and then I went to my first driving job a year after that. And I worked for a company.
You had that other one. God damn.
Yeah, at the other resort. Yeah. And then I ended up at a job that I enjoyed again. So I was a delivery driver / I don't know, counter person, I guess, for a plumbing and electrical company locally. And I liked that one. I really enjoyed that job. And I was there for about a year and a half, and it got shut down. So it's like, I finally found something I was good at and that I enjoyed. And it was back to square one. And just all the feelings start all over again. I kind of jumped to another company that did the same stuff, minus the electrical. But I had a disagreement over there. And y'all could say what you want. I don't care what anybody's opinion is on this matter. We all have our own opinions. And I'm of the opinion you do whatever makes you feel comfortable and stick to your guns. Do whatever it is you need to do. But for me, over there, I was the only one unvaccinated, and they forced me to wear a face mask even if I was in the back by myself. So I was not comfortable with that, and I left that place. And ended up at another place. I know this is all me talking. Do you guys want to start telling some of your stories?
A place I kind of talked you into fucking applying to.
Yeah, you know what? That
stop
last
job fucking I was listening to me.
I need to stop listening to you, dude. Because yes, Jesus. No. Well, you know what? You know what? The last job might not have been so bad, but when I went there, the person I was going to work alongside and
my uncle
work under, Justin's uncle, ended up getting a job offer, a much better job offer. And he took it, and I can't blame him. No one can blame him. Most people would do the same thing.
It was like a $15 an hour
for what he was offered. Yeah, for what he was offered. But him leaving just made it difficult. And there was a lot of pressure. I felt such an immense amount of pressure at that job. And I stuck it out for quite a while, man, trying to learn the trade and trying to do it. And it's just when you struggle and you feel like you're in over your head and you feel like you're alone and trying to learn it on the fly and learn it by yourself, it's tough, man. It's tough. But I tried, man. I stuck it out. And then I saw the current job opportunity and I jumped. I took it. Like, I had just gotten to the point where I felt like I didn't get the help I needed to succeed. And again, it was that fire truck company all over again. I won't say their name, Justin. I it was like that same company all over again. The anxiety, the stress, like everything just weighing on my chest.
I could hear it when we talked.
Yeah, and dude, and even my wife says, like, now it's my personality difference is night and day since switching jobs. Like, I will tell you, I work longer hours, so I'm getting overtime. I do harder work, you know, more heavy lifting, and, you know, it's a lot of blue collar work, you know?
Yeah, you used to text me quite a bit about, you know, oh, I'm doing this today and I'm doing that. You know, they're putting me over here in service and they don't have any help. I mean, it just sounded like they just didn't want to do anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, 180 change. You could see that just with the job that you just got.
It was instant. Instant.
It's crazy because, like, I knew I was stressed and stuff, but I honestly didn't think that the people around me could see the difference in my personality. Like, I tried real hard to not let it affect me, but it's easy to like,
right. That company drove you to do something I didn't think was in you when you left. Literally just saying fuck it.
Yeah,
I sat in the parking lot across the street for an hour waiting for everybody to leave the fucking building so I could pick his ass up and take him home after he dropped off his work truck.
I just honestly, I had it. Like, I couldn't deal with it anymore. My body wouldn't allow me to. My mind wouldn't allow me to. Like, honestly, I believe for the last few months I had been battling a little bit of depression. This year overall has just been full of negatives for myself and my family. And we, like, here in this house, we've gone through a lot this year. I don't know about you guys. I don't know how your years have been overall, but over here it's been a struggle for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely been a struggle. Feels like this year has been crap, but it's working out. Everything's falling into place. I guess a little bit. So you went with your history. I didn't know what I was doing until I was 21. I mean, 16, 17, 18, I was working at a grocery store. I got into drugs. I did a lot of stuff that I probably would have ended up going down a dark road if it wasn't for my older brother who told me that I needed to come out here to Virginia. I was living in Utah at the time. And he said, you need to come out here. You know, I got a job for you. I got a place for you to stay. And just, it was hard. I worked for a year and said I couldn't do it. I missed home. I went back and I got into the same stuff that I was doing. Got into more drugs and it was a low point. So I decided to try it one more time. I came out here again. I'd been here for 12 years now. It's when I started getting into fire protection. I started figuring that this was something that I was good at. I enjoyed it. I did installs, worked very long hours, labor intensive for a good six years of that. And then I started actually learning how to design. And that's how I started kind of playing around with the computer a little bit and got into designing fire suppression systems. And it wasn't until, like, I don't know, 5 years ago that I just said, you know, I'm getting too old for this. You know, I'm only 35, but I couldn't get on top of hoods anymore. My knees were getting cut up all the time. I was just like, I need to make a change. So I became a fire inspector and I really enjoy it. And it wasn't, like you said, the situation that I was placed in. I worked for a jurisdiction for 2.5 years, almost 3 years before things got out of control. I had problems with coworkers and my supervisor who would do nothing about it. So I left because of my mental state. And it was probably the best thing. I'm an inspector again, not a fire inspector, but I am an inspector for a different jurisdiction. And I enjoy it. I enjoy the people, the structure. For me, I never knew what I was doing. It wasn't, basically until I told myself to suck it up and, you know, things are going to be hard in life, but I got to suck it up. I mean, that 2-3 months, I was talking to you about this low paying job and I didn't know how I was going to make it. And dude, I felt like a failure, like through through the whole thing, just like, dude, I can't provide. It was tough. So seeing the change that you made and seeing the change that I made, it was completely a 180. And you could see it. I seen your face. I see how happy you are that you don't have to go to that job anymore. So it's been a tough year.
See, this year's not bad. This year, I feel
at least some of us are having a good year, man.
I feel like shit's finally coming together for me.
That's good. I think I
figured out what I'm supposed to be doing.
Good.
A lot of it has to do with the money I'm going to end up getting. But I don't hate the job. I don't hate going in every day. I enjoy the people I work with. There's some bumps. It's brand new company to the U.S.
There's a lot to be said for that about the people you work with.
Yep.
So, like, if you like the people you work with, it makes your job 10 times easier. Now, I got along with quite a few of the people at the last job. That was mostly the job itself that got me. This new job that I'm at, I genuinely enjoy the people there. Like, I get along with everybody. So I love it. So it's great that you like the people at your job. That's big.
Yeah, it's huge.
Underrated.
I mean, every place has their people, you're like.
Yeah. Really? Of course. But as long as it's not all of them, right?
Right.
As long as it's not all of them, you're good.
I genuinely like what I do. Like I said, the company's a little rocky right now. It's new to this country. Well, the company is new in this country, so.
Listen, when you come over to my house and you check every soda can I have here, I know you genuinely enjoy the job.
By the way, local store brand, we made that one.
Beautiful.
But, I mean, it's afforded me the opportunity to buy a house. So probably the worst part of this whole year was, what was it, 2 weeks ago? When I called you freaking out. Mm. Yeah.
It's easy to have a moment like that, especially when house shopping. It's easy to have that. For sure.
Yeah. No, yeah, that was a bad 6 hours. Fucking read an email 3 o'clock in the morning and there's nobody to talk to.
Oh, man.
Yep.
About the house? Or...
About estimated closing costs.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And the huge difference I saw between what I signed and what it's estimated at. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I freaked. Called him. Yeah. I was in tears. I'm a fucking failure. I'm doing this for my kid. I don't give a shit about me. I want to get my kid out of where I'm at now. I've already showed her the listing. She's already fallen in love with it. Mm-hmm. Like, and now I can't give it to her.
Mm-hmm. Everything hits different when you're a provider, right? So when you're the breadwinner, you're the one, I mean, I know it's been talked about a lot more recently than it ever has been before, but when it comes to men, that's just how we think. You're a traditional man. You're a man who thinks, you know, this is my job. This is my job, whether it's to support just your kids, whether it's to support your family. And when things aren't going exactly like they should be in your mind, it's easy to be overwhelmed and to feel like you're a failure. And it pays to have a good support system. It does. So Justin, I'm glad I could be that support system for you, man. I'm glad.
I got a hold of my mom after you, don't worry.
That's good.
I kept her on the phone for 5 hours.
Five hours before
I finally decided, fuck it, I'm doing it.
Good Lord, Annie. You could put up with him for 5 hours on the phone? Damn.
So it worked out.
She didn't have a choice. I'm stressed out now too, because I'm waiting for the appraisal to come back.
It's the hardest part is waiting around.
And I'm really hoping it appraises for what I need.
The one thing that I will say for my, I don't know, job search, my issues with finding what I'm meant to do. The one thing I will say about it is each stop that I've had over the past, I don't know how many years, has led to better pay. So at least there's that, you know. I've always right. been a believer in everything happens for a reason. Sometimes I struggle to find the reason, but like sometimes I obsess over it because I have that mentality of everything happens for a reason. So the bad shit starts happening and it starts compounding and piling up. And I think to myself, why is it doing this? Why is this happening? But generally I seem to find a reason every time. I seem to find a reason. So at least there's that. I try to look at the silver lining. I try to see the good where there seems to be nothing but bad.
And not for nothing, you probably got about another 17 jobs before you finally figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Because shit, I've been fast food, supermarket, printing company, mason, contractor, excavating, plastic.
Jack of all trades, master of none, right?
Mm-hmm. Fastenal, building fire trucks, and now I'm in Cannes. So I'm at least 10 jobs.
Mm. Yeah, I'm probably about that.
10 types of jobs. I've worked at 3 different supermarkets, 2 different fast food places.
Yeah,
that's where I started. I started at a supermarket when I was in high school.
I think most of us do, right? I think a lot of teenagers start out that way. It's a good first job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is also why, you know, all this experience that I've had in my adult life so far is why I try to get my kids to have a little bit of a work ethic, and I try to see what they're interested in. You know, I want them to find their interests while they're still young, and I want them to be able to pursue it. Like, for me right now, this right here is one of my interests. I love doing this. I love getting together with you guys, and I love chatting and putting the podcast on. But this is not a life-sustaining job. So, unfortunately, I can't do anything.
Watch your mouth. It could be.
It could be, but it's not.
Rogan was our age when he started.
Oh, was he?
I mean, he's like 50.
You hear that, guys?
We could be the next Rogan. He's like 54 now. Podcasts haven't been around that long.
So what you're saying is we should rename the show to Rogan Bros?
Rogan Bros.
Instead of the JRE, we're the Rogan Bros.
No. You're not bald.
Do you really still need to have that camera off? How long is this going to take?
Listen, I'm smoking a cigarette, okay? I don't want to get yelled at by fucking YouTube, Twitch, anybody. I've already been kicked off of fucking TikTok for smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. YouTube would be strange, though. Like, if we start getting a bigger audience, we'll have to be careful with the types of things we talk about, because they're quick with the ban hammer now, too.
I've already told you, I don't give a shit what they fucking think.
Yeah, maybe we should get on Rumble.
It ain't going to stop me from saying what the hell I want to say. I want it to grow, but not that much. Fuck. Not enough to have somebody try to control what we talk about. Fuck that.
So is it all right if we get into the story I wanted to share the other day that we pushed this back to today for?
Have at it.
Because even I might not be able to get through this.
Story.
Because I'll tell you, I called Alex, my wife. For those of you who are listening and don't know, Alexandria is my wife. So I called Alex a few hours after it happened, while I was on the road, because I needed to talk about it, and I was getting choked up talking to her about it. So I hope I get through this whole segment really well. Like, I hope I don't have any hiccups here, but I really wanted to talk about something that happened to me the other day, and I could feel it coming already. I could feel the frog in my throat already, but I've had experiences on TikTok before, you know, on my Corey NDT account. You guys can feel free to go ahead and find me. It's scrolling across the bottom right now. I've had experiences on there back when I was doing a lot of my positive messages and my positive vibes videos and positivity stuff. I would get messages from people, and it happened more times than I ever thought it would happen. I would get messages from people saying that, you know, my content has saved their life. And I had one person reach out to me and actually talk to me, telling me they had considered suicide, and my content has helped them, and they wanted to talk to me. So I had two separate instances on TikTok where I basically talked to people and told them, look, it's what you're thinking of doing, it's not worth it. And it's one thing to have that happen on social media and have someone reach out to you. I felt a little overwhelmed at the moment, and I remember talking to Alex about it when it happened. And I was like, this is crazy. I never thought that some silly shit that I'm doing on TikTok would actually mean that much to someone, where it would change their mind about doing something so drastic. And I don't know the other word I want to use right now for it, because there's really no other word, but it's a lot different when it happens in real life, when it happens in person. So I was working the other day, and I went out for an afternoon delivery. I left our shop around 1 o'clock, and I hadn't taken a lunch break yet. So about 10 minutes down the road, there's a gas station, little quick stop. So I stop in there, and there was a car at a pump, and then there was me, and I walked in, and the woman behind the counter was on the phone. And she was on the phone with the police, and I could hear her talking to them. You know, my ears perk up, because she says, yeah, they're talking about killing themselves. And I'm like, huh. There was one other person in the store at the time, and they were kind of pacing back and forth near the front of the store. So I clearly was a little curious, and I started to eavesdrop a little bit while finding whatever drink I wanted. And I'm like, is she talking about someone she knows personally that's at her house? Is it a friend and their friends at home? Because she had said, you know, I'm working and I can't do anything about it. Can you check on them? So I'm like, all right, is it someone she knows? Or is it this other person in here? I said, it can't be, because they're up at the front of the store. They're not doing anything other than pacing. Well, she turns around and goes to the guy, and she's like, here, do you want to talk to them? I was like, oh, fuck. Okay. So it's this guy right here. What am I going to do? Because I'm the type of person who I can't ignore a situation like that. So I get my drink, and I go up, and I'm paying for my drink. And I hear him on the phone with the cop, and she's, you know, the woman behind the counter is trying to go about her business, and she's kind of checking on him, keeping an eye on him. And I'm trying to listen, and I'm going through my head as I'm paying, like I'm only half paying attention. So she's like, she's telling me my total, and I'm like trying to hear him and hear her at the same time, and while I'm trying to think of what to say. And it's heavy even just thinking back on it, because when it happens in real life, it's crazy. Like, I've never had it happen to me before. So I get done paying, right? And I take a few steps towards the door, and I'm like, you know, I can't just leave. So I look over at the guy, and he's basically like at wit's end, right? He feels like his life's not worth it from what he was telling the cops. And talking about, he's from Florida, and he's staying in an area close by us. I'm not giving out his name, so I guess it's okay if I say where. Over in East Stroudsburg. Justin will know where that's at. So he was up here. I don't know why he was up here. So he's got the phone in his hand. And I stopped, and I looked at him, and he looked over at me, and all I did was, so I called him over, I gave the dude a hug, and all I could say was, don't do it, don't do whatever you're thinking of doing, it's not worth it. I was like, your life has value. And then I just let him talk to me, man. I just let him talk to me and tell his story. And he's 42, and he's having some kind of issue with his woman, and people are telling him he's, or I guess she's her, she, her and her family are telling him he's worthless and he's got nothing. He's got no phone. He's got no car. He needed to get a ride to the hospital. And in that moment, all I could think was, I wish I wasn't working. I wish I wasn't working so that I could do something more to help this guy out. So I basically let him talk to me for about 5 to 10 minutes and gave him another hug. And I was like, brother, just keep on going. I was like, what you're thinking of doing is not worth it. I said, it gets better. It has to. It always has to get better. Like, at your lowest low, you still wake up the next day, man. So it hit me really hard. One, because I was working and felt like I should have been able to do more. And two, I didn't really know what to say. Like, it was one of those moments where you walk away and later throughout the day, you keep thinking about it and replaying it in your mind. And you're like, ah, I could have said this. I could have done that. I should have offered this or that. And it's that whole hindsight thing, man. Like, in hindsight, I could have done so much more. But I feel like I hope what I did was enough. You know, like, I hope the cops did show up. I hope they did give him a ride into the hospital so he could talk to someone and get the help that he needed. But, like, I've never experienced that. I've never experienced that in real life, where someone was on the edge and on the verge and having those feelings of being completely and utterly worthless, like feeling that their life does not matter at all. And it was just really heavy, and it's something I wanted to share and just wanted to tell anybody who is struggling with feelings of that nature. Well, it's a dirty word to me, but I'll say it anyway. If you are ever having thoughts of suicide and just ending your life, please reach out to me. Please. The least I can do is talk to you. Even if I'm busy, we can message back and forth. I will make sure 110% I answer your text messages. I answer your messages at all. But there's always something that's worth it. Like, you always have to find the good. Like, I know sometimes our lives are overwhelmed with negativity. That's just one thing after the other. Just, it's all compounded. But there's good out there, man. There's good, and there's value in your life. So if you ever have those feelings, please reach out. Seriously, don't hesitate. Because that hit me hard, and I don't want anybody that feels like that to be left alone. So,
As you say you've never been in that situation before, you have. I don't know how much you realize it. The day I brought over my guns and all my shit that one time.
Yeah.
You don't know how close I was.
Yeah.
It that's why I went to your house with everything.
Yeah, and I was absolutely happy to take all that shit.
So you've been there before, and you have saved people.
Yeah.
Someone.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little bit different because I knew you and I knew what you were capable of. And I know that even if you're feeling that type of way, that it's something I can help control and that I can help you out of. Maybe this one was a little heavier and a little different because it was someone I didn't know. Maybe that's it. But, like, I know you've been there. I know you've been there before. And I've never been to that point where I've thought I was going to do something like that. But I've had my moments where I have felt worthless. Like, what's the point? What's the meaning behind all of this? But I've never been that extreme. Like, I've never gotten to that point.
I haven't got to that point, but I mean, with everything that was going on my job, I did take up video games, and I did try to keep my mind occupied when I got home. And I will say that people gravitate towards your attitude. I mean, I was gaming. I was looking for ways to just take my mind off of things. And then I, you know, I stumbled across your TikTok and, you know, I saw your personality, and I would say that a lot of the stuff, a lot of the changes that I've made recently was because I found you on TikTok, and I generally am more upbeat, and I just feel like a better person. So you do have that about you, that you like to help people. And I kind of took to that once I found you.
That makes me feel good, man.
You got the best of both your parents. You did, because your dad's a great fucking guy. I've leaned on your dad more than you know. I spent a lot of time talking to your dad.
I was gonna say, I know you had a lot of talks with him.
6 years ago. Almost 7 years ago, however long it's been. But there was a year where I was probably at your dad's house at least once a week.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew. I saw your dad more than I saw you.
Yeah, that was that had to be our early 20s then, yeah?
No. No.
Like after college, right?
No.
When was that?
29,
30. Oh, okay. Dude, it was that late. I had no idea. I thought it was after that one situation that you were in, and you would visit him from time to time.
No, it was later, because it was at his house now.
Oh, is it? Oh, uh-huh. I had no idea. You're right. I had no idea. Zero. Zero.
Yep. And then your mom was your mom. I always thought your mom fucking hated me until that one Christmas.
Yeah, I remember this conversation a few times.
Yep.
About how you never knew she actually liked you until that Christmas.
Because I was the asshole friend.
You were the bad influence. I was the good influence. Yes.
I was the one who smoked cigarettes. I was the one who smoked pot. I was the one who drank. Your dad caught me doing all fucking three.
Mm-hmm.
So I always thought your mom hated me until she got me drunk.
I think everything changes once you get older, honestly. I think parents see their kids and their kids' friends in a different light as they get older. Because now you're not just that little shithead.
Right.
Now you're that little shithead that can enjoy alcoholic beverages. You know?
But it turns out your mom actually always liked me. For the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah. So, yeah. So there's the heavy part that I really wanted to talk about. Yeah. I don't really know what I wanted to come from that, other than the fact that I wanted...
It's not worth it.
Yeah, other than the fact that, exactly, I wanted people to know that if you are thinking of something like that, you're thinking the world would be better without you. It's not worth it, for sure. Like, if I felt that way about some complete stranger whom I've never met in my entire life, then you know there is someone in your life that will miss you. Like, life is tough. Life's tough. And to quote one of my favorite shows of all time, life's tough. Get a helmet. Come on. Anybody? Anybody? Boy Meets World? Eric DeCorey? Life's tough.
Fuck, I couldn't put that together. God damn it.
That's what we need, man. We need more shows like Boy Meets World. Or that just needs to be on a forever rerun.
It's forever on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's funny because
good thing Disney Plus puts out.
Even when that was popular and we were teenagers, to this day, you our friendship can like follow suit with that.
Yeah.
You were Corey. Mm-hmm. And I was Sean.
You were Sean. Yeah. For the most part, yeah, absolutely.
Except I didn't get the whole poetic thing at the end, which, god damn it.
I agree with your wife though. You don't know how many lives you've touched. I mean, just you as a content creator and people coming in and watching you. I mean, like, say, it's changed my life. So I'm going to say that it's probably changed a lot more. You just don't know. So I just continue doing what you're doing because I think a lot of people gravitate because of your attitude.
I mean, good God, man. Fucking a month ago, you had people from Florida, Michigan, New Hampshire, and Virginia come up to fucking hang out with you at your fucking house.
Heck yeah, man.
That right there should fucking tell you that.
That is a great time.
2 weeks, a week later, you have somebody from fucking Nebraska drive you a fucking puppy.
Drive a puppy. Yeah, that was amazing. My wife in chat says, oh, am I your Topanga? Yes, you are my weird little hippie flower child.
You are not even, no. Do not ruin Topanga for me like that.
And we've got my sister Jess in chat as well on both accounts there. That's beautiful.
Pretty much before I met you, I really didn't hang out with a lot of people. I worked my ass off and worked overtime. I did a lot of stuff. So the people that I actually knew are the people that I work with. Now the people that I talk to almost every day are the people that I met through you, Allie and King. I talk to every single day. There's so many people that I've met because of you.
Dude, so I want to get into, I want to get into the importance of gaming and mental health right after this quick thing that I'm going to mention. And Alex can attest to this. I feel like since the time I was in high school, I feel like I've been the type of person who just loves to bring people together. Justin, you could probably attest to that too when it came to the bowling alley and bringing different groups of people together, and then those groups blend and they branch off into their own. Like, it's not even like I want to bring groups together and just get the credit for it. I want to bring people together so that everyone can find their people. Like, I want you to be able to find your people. Even if I bring these people and these people together and they hit it off and they're out doing their own thing in the world and I only talk to y'all once every month or something to check in, as long as I can help make people happy, I'm good. I'm good, man. I really enjoy that.
That group that got put together at the bowling alley, what a fucking mesh of people that was.
Right? Like,
Jesus Christ, you had the
three or four different school districts.
One of the amongst DV those hood rats, some Paul Pack fucking car heads, you and me in the sports, so jockey type shit.
Oh yeah, yeah, we were into sports, but we were also the punk rock type, right?
Yep, it was the mesh.
Like, I remember skanking out on the approach, man. Skanking. Who knows what skanking is?
Pips, please can't do tell it me. Now.
I'm not going to get up and do it now. I'll knock my camera and my light over. I weigh a little bit more than I did in high school, and this room shakes, so I'm not going to do it. But please leave a comment on any of our social media platforms if you're listening to this on audio. Let us know if you know what skanking is. We'll probably put up some GIFs and some videos anyway, just for fun. That's great. Yes, and my wife says, and then she brought her friends when we got together. So yes. That is true. You just added to the group. And that was a lot of fun. But
that place, we used to pack that place. It was,
yeah, it's
all of our friends, and that was it.
And it's not anywhere near as good as it was back then. But I did want to get into
nothing is.
And I did want to get into the importance of gaming in mental health. Like, I'm saying like again tonight a lot, and I don't like it. I'll break that habit. I will. But gaming and mental health, a lot of people don't understand what it means to gamers to have that outlet, no matter the age. And I think a lot of older gamers, they get a bad rep, and many people our age and older tend to poke fun at them. and say, this is why you don't have your life together. But no, like having that outlet, I did it again. Having that outlet is important. Having that outlet is important. Like it allows you to forget about all the stress of the outside world. Every worry that you have that's sitting in your brain is gone while you're playing games with your friends.
Because you're fucking raging.
Well, yeah. A lot of times if you're playing a game like Call of Duty or Apex, yeah, absolutely you're raging. But you're in the zone. You're focused on something you love, even if it makes you rage. You're focused on something you love. You're occupying your time. And the other thing is, for the people who play story games, playing a good story game is really no different than reading a good book, right? Except you actually take on that character. You are the character, right? But if you have a good story game where it's constantly developing and it pulls you in and it's emotional, tell me how that's any different than reading a book or watching a TV show. Why is it frowned upon for people to play video games? I think it's becoming more normalized, which is nice, but it does a lot for people who are struggling with depression and anxiety, don't you think?
Absolutely.
It does.
You can even look at a lot of the bigger streamers. They'll admit it. They started playing games and streaming because they had depression.
Yeah.
And it's just tumbled and worked out from there.
Yeah. I mean, I've had an Xbox sitting, you know, in my cabinet for years. It wasn't until I started having issues with my job that I pulled it out and started playing. So it's definitely helped quite a bit.
Kevin Bose here in chat says, sometimes it's nice to shut it down for a little bit. And I'm pretty sure he's referring to shut down your brain a little bit. Turn off the outside world. And just focus on the enjoyment. Having that escape is beautiful. And it's just the escape, right? Having the video games is the escape. For some people, it's another hobby. There are so many hobbies out there. It doesn't matter what you do. Enjoy it. I'm going to say it here on the podcast. I've said it on my stream countless times. To me, I'm the type of person who believes time is way more valuable than money. We are only allotted a certain amount of time on this earth. There are always opportunities to make more money out there, but you only get so much time. Enjoy the people you love, enjoy the things you love, and don't be ashamed of it. Don't apologize for it. You know, do what you enjoy doing, man. Just do it. Doesn't matter what it is. Take time to enjoy things. Don't spend your entire life working your hands to the bone 60, 70 hours a week, not leaving time for anything, and then get to 50,
that's
55,
what I do.
And then 55, 60 years old, you're like, man, I really wish I did this. You're going to start having regrets once you get near the end of your life. I know I said near the end of your life at 60, but that's just me. That's how long I plan on being around. It's like 60. Give or take.
Yeah, that's what I do. I work. I feel attacked.
You feel attacked.
I wish I didn't work as much. Looking back, I mean, I put in a lot of overtime. Spent a lot of time away from the family.
Yeah, it can definitely be tough. It can definitely be tough. But I mean, like,
see, that's
even
where
myself,
I have the advantage. I don't have a family that I'm leaving to go to work. I have a dog.
I've been trying to work as much overtime as possible these past few weeks just so I can try to, you know, catch up on bills and whatnot. But I don't plan on having that be something that I do for a long time. And even when I do the overtime, the extra overtime, it's just a couple hours extra on a Saturday morning. It's not really that bad.
No, so. 2:59. I'm walking right out to the car. No overtime for me.
There you go.
Going home.
There you go.
Eventually, right. It'll get there for me.
Do we want to get away from the somber feeling right now? I know Justin wanted to finish off on a high note. Is that what we want to head towards, Justin?
I'm down.
We head towards a high note for you. Okay, so what I got, guys, is our guest from last week, Derek Osteresis, also known as the Kid Picked Last. So if you guys haven't done it yet, head on over to YouTube and check out Kid Picked Last. He actually started his podcast. So I know he was working on it, and we talked to him last week about it. And Justin told him, just go for it. Just do it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to add on to what you were saying before. Like, don't apologize for being you. Play your games. Shit like that. Just fly by the seat of your pants. Fuck it. It's your life. Nobody else's.
Absolutely.
Don't worry what anybody else thinks. As long as you're not hurting nobody else, hurting yourself, fucking go for it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It goes for all aspects of life, man. If you have something you enjoy and you're not hurting anybody else, you're not hurting yourself, you're good to go, man. Just do what makes you happy, like Justin said. But yeah, like, I'm very excited that that Derek put out his first episode of the Kid Picked Last podcast. And he put out...
It was amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's very good. It's almost an hour long, 55 minutes. And he also put out an episode, a little vlog. It's his vlog that he does on his weight loss. And I got to tell you, man, the editing job that this guy does on that video is very good. So I think
that a recent video. I watched that too. Or was that an older one?
There's one that's a recent one. It's like a 5-minute video. And he had
that recent, because I thought he only had a mustache. I didn't realize he had a full goatee.
You might have seen one of his older ones, because he did start it last year.
No, that was the one that was posted right after.
Oh, yeah. If that's what was posted right after, then yes, that's 100%. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little clip for you guys. I want to play a little clip of Derek's podcast. Just the first couple minutes here, because I want to end on a good note, a positive note, because I'm very excited for Derek, and so is Justin and Jared. So we're going to play this bad boy. He's done such a fantastic job on. So we'll check out the beginning for him. Very cool video work.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the first episode of the Kid Picked Last podcast. I am your host, Derek Osteresis, and man, has it taken me a long time.
Yep, I didn't even try that last week.
I've scripted this. I'm off script right now.
His last name, Osteresis.
Yep.
Oh, nobody can hear it. That's a shame. But all right, so it's super quiet.
Record, and we're gonna see what shakes out. It's probably gonna be real raw, really ugly
now.
Probably not a best first, but I need to just get over this hump. So I'm a big advocate in just getting reps to get better. So this is rep one.
I thought we had the audio.
Imagine like the first time you did a squat or something, how uncomfortable and weird and awkward that was, but equally fun to watch. So I hope in the very least this represents, you know, that kind of spectacle, seeing somebody do something weird and challenging and overcoming their fears for the first time. But today's episode in particular, I did want to stick to some kind of a theme. I wanted to talk a little bit about the last few years and ultimately for me hitting rock bottom.
So I hope you guys take a second to check out his podcast over there. He is so well spoken, and I think he's built for this podcast. I really do. I think he did a fantastic job. So head on over to Kid Picked Last. Head on over to Kid Picked Last. Check that out. I really enjoyed the episode. I think you guys will too. Very cool stuff, man. And check out, if you didn't listen to last week's episode here, check it out on YouTube or over on Spotify, Apple, or Chrome podcasts. Chrome, Google. Fucked it up. It's okay. check out the audio version if you want to, or check it out on YouTube. Our episode with him last week, that was great. I think that was a really good.
It was episode. Really good.
I really like that, dude. But okay, so how's that for positivity for you?
It's way better than ending on the somber shit.
Try to bring it back up so that you don't go into later being all bummed out.
Correct.
Yeah. So for anybody watching right now live who might be interested, we are commentating the Blue Collar Media Group's monthly tournament series, Call of Duty tournament later for Rebirth Island. That will start at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you will get Justin and myself. Jared, you're more than welcome to hop on with us and chat it out while these teams are competing for $200.
I will last as long as I can, I promise. Yeah,
Justin might pass out. We're having a little bit of trouble hearing from some of the last few teams, but hopefully they're all good to go. And we will be starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Shit, if I can get three more, I'll commentate and play.
Yeah, I'm thinking next week I might try to get a team in myself because that's pretty cool.
I have not been on lately with Call of Duty. It's been like three.
See, there's two more. We can all play and commentate. We just need one more. Bree.
We know she plays some Call of Duty. She can get in the tournament.
So for those of you who are listening, if you do enjoy Call of Duty, the Blue Collar Media Group is putting on a monthly tournament series. It will be every month. It is $40 entry per team. You have a KD cap of 4.6 for the team, and you cannot have an individual who has more than a 2.6 KD. So it's kind of catering to your average gamers, not your absolutely cracked ones. So $40 entry per team. If you win the tournament, you get $200 for your team, and you get automatic entry into the December tournament. And that December tournament is a tournament of champions. So all the monthly winners will be in a custom lobby against one another, and they will be competing for a $2,000 prize. So it's a pretty sweet deal. If you're not in for today's tournament, hit me up at some point before next month's tournament. You can enter every month if you want until you win. It's a cool deal, man. So definitely hit me up. Aside from that, I think we're about ready to head on out. What do you think?
I think it went well.
And we're going to be back. So next Saturday is your normal Saturday off, correct?
Correct. So next Saturday we'll be back.
PM is still good for you, correct?
Correct, because that is my normal Saturday off. I don't work the night before.
Okay, so you heard it here, guys. Justin confirmed it. Next Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the next episode of the Nonsense and Deep Thoughts podcast. I am Corey. He is Justin. And Jared is our man behind the scenes here who is in the scenes today to chat about all the important shit. Make sure you give him a little bit of love as well. And find him and his content over at Fire Exit Gaming on Twitch TV. Until next week, we'll see you guys later.
Later.